talk now to Paul Anthony Jones about his new book, The Cabinet of Calm. Morning.
Morning, Bill. How are you?
Good to talk to you. Yeah, I've got to confess, when I first saw the title of your book, The Cabinet of Calm, I thought, do you know what? He's written a book about the UK government in these times of crisis.
Yeah, they're handling it so well.
It's quite the opposite, I think, of the Cabinet of Calm, don't you think?
Yeah, true enough, yeah.
It's a fascinating book in what it's about. Talk us through it, Paul.
Yeah, I know. I mean, bringing it out in the middle of a sort of situation that we're all in at the minute makes it seem like I've kind of engineered all of it.
Yeah.
But I haven't. I wrote this last year. And it's kind of a collection. I collect kind of obscure words, and I've been writing and blogging about them for about 7 or 8 years now.
Right.
So in this book, I'm kind of pairing up one of those kind of fascinating words that hopefully you haven't heard of before to like a problem that you might have in your life, or something that you're worried about, or something that you might be experiencing at the minute, just to kind of give you a little bit of calmative peace of mind and a little bit of perspective.
Well, as you say, right now could not be a better time for that. So how does it work in practice then? We look at the book and we think of what our emotion is at the moment. Is that how it works?
Yeah, it's that kind of idea. Yeah. So there's a chapter that's to do with lacking motivation, and there's a chapter that's to do with dealing with loss and dealing with grief, and there's one about homesickness. So there's all these sort of little kind of chapters dedicated to all these different problems. And hopefully there's a bit of language and a few words in there that are going to give you a little bit of food for thought.
There's not a chapter called Bewilderment with Governments, is there?
Unfortunately, there's not, no.
That's for the next one. That's for the next one, definitely.
Yeah, that'd be a very well-thumbed chapter, I think.
That may be the biggest emotion people are feeling right now, probably. yeah. So give us some examples of this then. Can I throw something? No, that's unfair if I throw something at you. How easy is it to look up? If I just give you a word, is that a nightmare to just look up?
No, that should be fine, yeah.
Okay, what about something really boring then, like confusion? What would you say if I was to say confusion? Because I'm sure lots of people now are confused. So what would your words say about that?
There's kind of two that you can go with that. There's a lovely word, cultellation, which means a cultellus is an old kind of surveyor's tool, which it kind of lets you break down a really long distance into small sections. And cultellation is a word for kind of, if you're overwhelmed by this sort of mass of things in front of you, just break it down into smaller things and take it bit by bit by bit.
Wonderful.
So if it's the kind of amount of stuff that's kind of confused you, then, yeah, break it down into pieces. There's another great word, which is catechismesis, which is an old rhetorical term for taking everything that you've got and putting it in order, putting it in a list that makes sense, and dealing with it logistically like that, one step at a time.
Wow, that's fantastic. And how many words do you have for each emotion then?
Each chapter sort of dedicated to one, so there's about 50 chapters in the whole book.
Right.
But kind of underneath that umbrella, hopefully we'll kind of deal with a few other ones just to give you a few kind of ideas to go on. Sometimes I kind of deal with the opposite as well. So there's a chapter that's to do with kind of feeling like you're stuck in a routine. And one of the words that I talk in there is a word for kind of madcap, robotic, brainless behavior where you're just going about the same thing day after day after day, which is vexishness, which is a great word.
Say that one again. Say that one again for us.
Vexishness.
Vexishness?
Yeah, S-P-H-E-X at the start of it. It's a great word.
Wow, yeah. What a word.
Yeah, it comes from the Greek word for a wasp, which is a bit unusual.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Am I right in saying that the Lord of the Rings author, Tolkien, came up with a word in 1939 to describe the positive counterpart of a disaster? And this is brilliant because it actually looks like it's pronounced EU catastrophe.
Yes, no. I've been trying to explain this one and it's always I'm like, how can I pass this off as not saying EU catastrophe? But, yeah, it's EU catastrophe.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of pronounced like that. And yeah, while a catastrophe is like a sudden kind of disastrous, unexpected, horrible event,
right,
a EU catastrophe is the opposite. It's something you weren't expecting that suddenly comes into your life, but is absolutely nothing except sheer good fortune. It's just a total change to what you were expecting to happen that has only positive outcomes. Tolkien used it for the sort of turning point in a plot. So he used it to mean the part where the narrative kind of starts moving towards kind of happy conclusion at the end. But in general terms, it's just this sudden event of nothing but great things.
How brilliant. I think I prefer EU catastrophe. I like that a lot. And when you were researching this, I mean, you know, you say you're a fan of words, but how did you know that people weren't just making this stuff up? Because presumably a lot of your research is online.
Yes, yeah. I've got a huge bookshelf here as well, full of sort of old dictionaries and things that I've collected over about 20 years from sort of secondhand shops and weird book fairs and eBay and all sorts of things. So I kind of tend to sort of trawl through those, and then something will just catch my eye and I'll start carrying out some research. Sometimes you do kind of come to a bit of a dead end and seems kind of, you know, this word's just been made up online and not got any further.
Yeah.
So all the words that I kind of focus on are ones that have got a little bit of history and a story behind them that you can actually tell.
My old mum, God rest her soul, used to say to me, you know, it's a tragedy is almost an ironic thing to say, that we don't learn Greek and Latin at school anymore, because she did, and she used to be able to work out what words meant just by working out where the Latin and Greek derivations. And imagine a lot of these words are exactly that you found.
Yeah, that's the thing, because a lot of these words were sort of coined 500, 400 years ago, back when people were much more well-versed in Latin and Greek, you know, you taught in school when people were really, really young. Right up to the kind of mid-1900s, really, people were still learning Latin and Greek regularly in school. You know, I can remember my mom and dad learning it.
Absolutely.
But now we kind of haven't got that connection. So we kind of get that words are connected, but kind of knowing the sort of nuts and bolts underneath that really kind of drive those connections is where the Latin and Greek comes from, definitely.
Brilliant. Do you have any favourite? I guess you've been asked that, because you must have written a lot of words in this book. So is there anyone that you think, wow, what a word?
I really like Hercule Dirkle.
Hercule Dirkle!
Hercule Dirkle, yeah. Hercule Dirkle's an old Scottish dialect term. It has to be Scottish, really.
It sounds a bit Scottish. I'm from Glasgow, so it's probably pronounced Hercule Dirkle.
Yeah, you say I'm a Geordie.
There you go. It'll be Hercule Dirkle. No problem. Yeah. And what does it mean?
Well, to Hercule is to sort of pull your arms and legs in towards your body. It's that kind of thing. But Circle, this kind of extended version, is to sort of lounge around in bed when you should be up and about. It's recorded from the kind of mid-1800s. There's old dialect dictionaries of Scots that have this in from the 19th century.
Wow.
Sadly, it's since been forgotten, but we can bring that one back.
I imagine there's a lot of Hercule Dirkling going on right now with people who can't be bothered to get out of bed. I'm sure there is.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. Wonderful idea for a book. I've got to say, it's quite unique, Paul. Brilliant to talk to you about it today. It's called The Cabinet of Calm, and you can get that on our own website, tre.radio. See people looking around the internet for it. You can get it right there. Brilliant, sir. Thank you for your time today. You look after yourself, and hopefully talk again soon. Take care.
You too.
All the best. Bye-bye. Bye.